This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
For cultivating progress across the South, for working to unconditionally improve the lives of all, and for the bold underwriting of every Gravy podcast, SFA thanks our visionary Louisville, Kentucky friends, Pam and Brooke Smith.
In this episode of Gravy, we're headed to Texas to pick up some kolaches.
Maybe we should describe kolaches for those who aren't lucky enough to have already tried one, Melissa.
Okay, so think thumbprint cookie or one of those cookies with the Hershey's Kiss in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Now, imagine that cookie is a pastry about 3 inches across and made from a sweetened yeast dough filled with fruit, poppy seeds, or maybe some sort of farmer's cheese.
Now, immigrate that story from Czechoslovakia to Texas and sometimes fill it with sausage.
I think you're describing the perfect gas station food.
I am.
Because, I mean, you can get both, right? The sweet
yes.
and the sausage.
You can. And that's a kolache.
Born of Eastern Europe and beloved in Central Texas since the late 19th century, kolaches are now part of the Texas roadside experience. And one kolache baker thinks they should become a thing everywhere.
I'd love to end this by saying, coming to a gas station near you.
We can hope.
I'm Mary Beth Lassiter.
I'm Melissa Hall. You're listening to Gravy.
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 A production of the Southern Foodways Alliance, Gravy tells the stories of the changing American South.
Evan Stern has the story.
I mean, there's national holidays for everything. I couldn't believe there wasn't one for kolache, especially it's such a big deal in Texas. I mean, come on, there's National Underwear Day, right? Why isn't there a kolache one? So I made it a mission and a goal that I had to do it, and I did.
It's been said that entrepreneurship is a calling, not a job. Vatsana Suwanavong's calling are kolaches. The owner of a bake shop, in 2018, she spearheaded a successful campaign to have March 1st proclaimed National Kolache Day. Known affectionately to her customers as the Crazy Kolache Lady, she proudly tells me she can eat 5 kolaches in one sitting and says her enthusiasm for them is compulsive. Still, by her own admission, she's perhaps an unlikely ambassador for this pastry many revere as a symbol of Czech pride. Born in 1982 to an elite family in Vientiane, Laos, at age 4, Vatsana, her mother and siblings, fled to Houston as political refugees. Adjusting to their new life in Texas wasn't easy. Their mother took 2 jobs while working on a GED, they had to learn a new language, subsisted on food stamps, ate meals like eggs and rice, and rarely got the chance to indulge in sweets.
We were too poor, like we couldn't afford all that fancy stuff, and We couldn't afford to us sweets like donuts, cookies, cakes. That was a luxury.
Baking was not a tradition Vatsana grew up immersed in, and was never something she considered pursuing. That is, until she discovered kolaches, when a sweet craving led her to a Houston donut shop.
And I was like, hey, what is that? And the lady was like, oh, it's a kolache. I was like, what's it a kolache? She goes, just try it. So I bought one of each flavor, and I took my first bite, and can I tell you, I fell in love.
5 years later, most mornings find Vatsana waking at 2 a.m. to proof dough at the bakery that love inspired her to open. Named Koala Kolache and housed in a suburban strip center in the town of Cypress, about 25 miles northwest of downtown Houston, Vatsana tells me she chose her shop's name not because she's a marsupial lover, but because her phone's autocorrect kept spelling kolache, that's K-O-L-A-C-H-E, as koala.
It stuck to me. You can't go wrong with that, you know what I mean?
This autocorrect fail isn't entirely surprising. In America, kolaches aren't ubiquitous like Danishes. They've yet to enjoy a trendy moment like the cronut. Save a few corners of the Midwest, they aren't easily found outside Central Texas. And even here, depending on whom you ask, you'll likely hear a range of answers when seeking definitions. Vatsana tells me she regards kolaches as the stepchildren of croissants, because to her, their filling possibilities are endless. And while she serves many classic flavors like peach and cream cheese, she's perhaps proudest of her rotating savory selections.
One of my first few that I made was bulgogi and kimchi, and I love bulgogi and kimchi. And I also made Thai chicken basil, because again, you know, Laos and Thai is very similar, and I love basil. So I made some of that. Also made chicken masala, which I love Indian food. See, like the things I've come up with, things that I love, you know what I mean?
Just a few short years ago, the thought of pairing flavors like these with kolaches would have struck most Texans as unthinkable. Yet Vatsana is hardly the only Houston baker who's using them to experiment with international tastes and ingredients. Downtown's Cafeteria has developed a cult following for their Vietnamese-inspired beef pho kolaches, while butter chicken halal varieties can be found at the chain Karma Kolaches. So, how is it that kolaches have reached this point, and how should we define them? The term itself can be traced to the Czech word kolo, which means circle, and reflects the firm, individually round pastries baked in Eastern Europe today. A sweet, open-faced bun that provided a practical use for preserved fruits, jams, and cheeses, kolaches were brought to Texas in the 1800s by Czech immigrants who came here for cheap farmland. Yet due to different resources, baking methods, and practicalities associated with these new surroundings, kolaches soon underwent a metamorphosis. The dough became less dense and more soft, the crust became blonder, and notably the shape became square, making it almost unrecognizable from its original form. This is something Lydia Faust, a second-generation Texas Czech, couldn't help but note when sampling kolaches on her first trip to the Czech Republic in 2014.
I was really surprised at what they call a kolache there nowadays. A lot of them resembled a cookie. And it just, there was very few places that I found that really made kolaches like we make them here, or what our grandmothers had taught us how to do them.
Now 90, Lydia lives near Bryan, in her hometown of Snook, in the frame cottage she bought with her husband for $3,000 in 1953. Regarded as one of the grand dames of Texas Czech baking, her recipes have been published in Southern Living, and the walls of her modest kitchen are lined with framed honors recognizing her accomplishments. She remembers making her first cake at age 5, and in 1968 opened the Snook Baking Company. There, she tells me she perfected her kolache recipes by feeding a sturdy crew of local farmers each morning. And for nearly 30 years, abided by one of her favorite Czech sayings.
Bez práce nejsou kolače.
That means, without work, there are no kolaches. Born in 1933, Lydia didn't learn English until grade school, and grew up on a nearby farm where chores included milking cows, drying prunes, and making cottage cheese by hanging sacks of clabber on a dry line. She tells me all these ingredients went into their kolaches, which were a must for Sunday afternoon snacks, or spachina.
Every weekend, when we knew that a family was coming over, there was always to have kolaches and coffee or tea or whatever. I helped mother with either the baking part or the filling part or just observed how she did it, and it just became something that I wanted to do on my own.
Today, Miss Faust continues to participate in the Caldwell Kolache Festival, which she helped found nearly 40 years ago. And though she hasn't been baking much lately due to a recent back issue, she's recovering and hopes to return to leading her annual kolache workshop at Snooks Elementary School.
My hopes are that the kolaches will continue being made, and that the Czech families carry on the culture with their families, and that it won't be a dying art.
Austin-based blogger and home baker Don Orsak shares Miss Faust's commitment to preservation. A historian of Moravian descent who's dedicated years to the study and preservation of Czech-Texan foodways, for Don, cooking is a thread that connects her with her identity.
It just sort of encapsulates those things like history and tradition and being Czech that make me who I am.
Yet Dawn also recognizes that customs evolve, and understands why kolaches in Texas are different from their predecessors in Europe. Cutting a big pan of pastries into squares is faster and easier than crafting individual rounds. Modern appetites have made kolaches bigger. And she stresses that even among Texas Czechs, fillings have changed. For instance, cream cheese wasn't around in the 19th century, but it's accepted today as a classic flavor, alongside poppy seed, prune, and apricot. And even pineapple became embraced as a staple with the widening availability of canned fruit in the 1950s.
Certainly the round shape is more similar to the way they are in the Czech Republic. But, you know, 150 or 60 years after, you know, people started immigrating to Texas, what does traditional mean that, or can traditional mean what your great-grandmother made?
Dawn goes on to suggest that, like other regional American cuisines whose roots can be traced abroad, Texas Czech cooking deserves respect on its own terms.
Texas Czech food is its own cuisine. It's not Czech food. We don't eat Czech food here. We eat Texas Czech food. And I think that's important. I think it should be documented and celebrated.
When we come back, we'll learn about the plans to take kolaches from Texas gas station staple to nationally beloved. But first...
For over 125 years, Lodge has been crafting quality cookware in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. It started with the iconic Lodge cast iron skillet made for cooking anything anywhere, and then turned to the seasoned cast iron Dutch oven and camp ovens. Now, Lodge is making history with USA Enamel, the only line of colorful enameled cast iron made in the United States. And like all Lodge cast iron cookware, USA Enamel is designed to last for generations. Visit LodgeCastIron.com to purchase your own USA Enamel Dutch oven. For Lodge's longtime commitment to the Southern Foodways Alliance and this podcast, we thank them.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Driving from Austin to Houston, outside the town of Bastrop, it's hard to miss a billboard for the hugely popular convenience chain Buc-ee's that reads in bold letters, "Kolaches ahead." Perhaps more than an emblem of Czech identity, kolaches are now a beloved road snack for highway commuters. This popularity is owed to combination rest stops and bakeries like Ruska's and Ellinger, Weichel's and LaGrange, and the Czech stop in West that claims to go through roughly 9,000 pounds of butter and 2,100 dozen eggs each week. Don Orsak argues that large-scale bakeries like these have had a major impact on shaping the public's perception of kolaches.
I do feel like those non-Czech commercial bakeries are the ones that got people to first eat sausage kolaches. I'm going to use the term sausage kolaches because that's what they have, or that's what they call them.
Don says the reason most Texans now call sausage-filled pigs in a blanket or meat pies kolaches is because that's what chains like Houston's Kolache Factory and Shipley's Donut started calling them in the 1970s. Yet, in the Czech Republic, and even in the view of many Texas Czechs, the idea of meat kolaches is contradictory, as they should traditionally always be sweet, with a limited number of fillings. For this, Vatsana tells me she's no stranger to criticism, as her choice to label savory pastries kolaches remains controversial to some.
We got a lot of, like, I guess DMs, emails, and saying, you should not be calling it a kolache. It's not a kolache.
All the same, In barbecue-loving Texas, savory kolaches have grown so popular. Most bakers I speak with tell me they regularly outsell classic flavors, and this tide only seems to be spreading. A new Georgia location of Bucky's recently drew a rave review from Atlanta Magazine, which urged readers to make a beeline for the bakery counter to try their jalapeno and cheddar kolaches. As a passing aside, the article mentioned in closing, don't miss the sweet kolaches, too. For Dawn, attention like this is conflicting.
If it takes a sausage kolache to spread the word about Texas Czech food, that's wonderful. I'm happy that Texas Czech food is getting recognized, but I do worry about the authenticity getting diluted.
But while history merits respect, and conversations about identity and preservation are worth having, there's also good reason that culinary innovations and hybrids like jalapeno cheddar kolaches catch on.
They're delicious, they're not traditional. Should they exist? Sure, because they're delicious.
Dawn tells me about a food truck called Kolaches. Owned by Venezuela-born Amelise Paz Kerlin, her brisket kolaches were named by Eater one of Austin's 23 most iconic dishes. While in Dawn's eyes, creations like these aren't traditional, she's open to the idea that future generations might view them differently.
They're not really even traditional Texas Czech kolaches unless you see us on a continuum and what's happening with things like kolaches are morphing and feeding that continuum now so that in 10, 15 years, we'll think of that as Texas Czech.
Mostly, Dawn fears the prospect of a future where mass production causes Americans to view kolaches as dense with processed jams and cherry pie fillings.
I'm worried that in, you know, a generation, the only place you can get a kolache is in a commercial bakery, and that people don't know how to make them anymore. The first time I saw a sign for kolaches in like a Citgo gas station window, I think I cried. And it made me horrified to think that kolaches could go that route.
For most Americans, home baking today is more a novelty than practice, and small-town scratch bakeries have become something of a dying breed. Lydia Faust knows this well as the Snook Baking Company, which she helped build, closed under different ownership and has sat vacant since 2015. The Village Bakery in West closed following the 2019 death of its second-generation owner. Similarly, LaGrange's historic Lucas Bakery, which opened in 1947, is trying to avoid this fate. Its 71-year-old owner and sole baker, Lawrence Falden, is actively seeking an apprentice to train and hand his keys to. So far, though, he hasn't met any takers. Given the intense hours and physical demands of pastry making, it's not hard to understand why. Bakers like Vatsana, with both passion and uncompromising work ethics, aren't always easy to find.
You have to be a morning person to be in this business. If you're not, stay home. Don't try to temp it. A lot of these people come here, you're the first person they see. You can literally break or make their day. Our goal is to serve them with joy, give them our joy, and have them walk out here with joy.
For Vatsana, her work at Koala Kolache is a joy. She excitedly tells me about how she's experimented with flavors like mango and taro, and one day hopes to even try making a kolache with the infamously pungent durian fruit. Still, aspects of her baking are traditional too. She tells me her dough is credited to a 1941 recipe she got from a friend's Czech grandmother, and that anyone interested in making kolache should look to their elders.
Go to the source. Grandparents, great-great-grandparents are the best. Because remember, back in the days, they had no choice but to cook, and baking was a big deal. That's what I learned quickly.
When I ask Vatsana about her hopes for the future, she answers immediately.
I want to be nationally known. I want to be a household name. Yeah. Like I said, I just want to bring joy to everybody, you know, through pastry, through kolache. That brought me so much joy. And then hopefully the community agrees with me too. That brings them joy as well.
If kolaches ever break through on the national level, and get their cronut moment, what will they look and taste like? Will they showcase flavors like prune or new ones like bulgogi and kimchi? Could they be sold at Starbucks? And Will growth in availability and awareness come at the expense of local craftsmanship or spur innovation? Perhaps the only thing certain about Kolache's future is their ongoing evolution, which reflects the story of a changing and increasingly diverse Texas, South, and nation. Yet Kolaches also exemplify how traditions can be built on. And if their centuries-long history in Texas is any indication, those called to bake will continue to find in them a canvas for expressing ideas and identity through dough and fillings like cottage cheese, pineapple, sausage, and maybe even durian.
Born during the driving rainstorm that inspired Stevie Ray Vaughan to record the classic Texas Flood, Evan Stern is one of a proud few who can claim Austin as his legitimate hometown. A regular Gravy contributor, Evan produces his own podcast, Vanishing Postcards, where he tells the stories of Texas, one highway and farm road at a time.
We thank Wendell Patrick for Gravy's theme music and Jazar for our donor music. Managing editor for Gravy and all other SFA media is Sarah Campmila. Olivia Terenzio edits All Things Podcast. My co-host, Mary Beth Lassiter, is our publisher.
Join us for the SFA's Fall Symposium, October 20th and 21st here in Oxford, Mississippi. Together, we'll ask the important question, where is the South? Where is it? You'll hear from a roster of engaging speakers like Adon Medrano, our guide to finding the South beyond the political geographies of the U.S.-Mexico border. We also promise that you'll eat and drink very well. Tickets are on sale now. Visit southernfoodways.org to learn more about the schedule and purchase your ticket.
While you're there, become a member or make a donation. Your dollars fund our work and help us make more gravy. I'm Melissa Hall.
And I'm Mary Beth Lassiter.
Excited to lap up another episode of Gravy? Tell a friend.
Pass the gravy boat. There is plenty to go around.